Democrat or Republican in the last three elections. Those people were called back and offered a $100 gift card if they would do a lunch hour Zoom and talk about why they voted the way they did. 96 women, a fifth of whom were not white, were broken into three different sessions. Barefoot sat in one of them and got permission from the funders to share codes and results. Focus groups are put together differently than surveys, which weigh the responses to reflect the population at large. While 96 respondents isn't enough for a robust polling sample, it's a chance to dig deeper into the views of a slice of the electorate. Virginia is about two-thirds white, and this sample was 79% white, so slightly whiter than the state at large, but not by a ton. 11% of them were black women, 6% Latina, and 4% Asian American. They came from around the state. Barefoot said he didn't ask about college education because what he was interested in was people who lived in the suburbs regardless of race or educational background. What Barefoot found is that while the women agreed with Democrats on policy, they just didn't connect with them. When asked which party had better policy proposals, the group members overwhelmingly said Democrats. But when asked which party had cultural values closer to theirs, they cited Republicans. The biggest disconnect came on education. Barefoot found that the school closures were likely a big part of their votes for Youngkin, and that frustration at school leadership over those closures bled into the controversy, pushed by Republicans around the injection of critical race theory into public school setting, along with the question of what say parents should have in schools. One Latina woman talked about how remote school foisted so much work on parents. Yet later, Terry McAfee, the Democratic nominee and former governor, would insist that parents should have no input in their children's education. As she put it, "They ask us to do all this work for months, and then he says it's none of our business now." The anger they felt at Democrats for the Commonwealth COVID-19 school closure policy became further evidence of a cultural gap between these working people and Democratic elites who broadly supported prolonged school closures while enjoying the opportunity to work remotely. Those with means, they can't. Enrollment in Fairfax County schools dropped 5% and fell by 3.9% and 3.4% in Arlington and Loudoun counties, respectively. Those who were left behind organized parent groups to pressure the schools to reopen. Though the groups tended to be nonpartisan or bipartisan at the start, Republican donors and conservative groups poured money and manpower into them, converting them into potent political weapons that blended anger at the closures with complaints about Democratic board members prioritizing trendy social justice issues, all of it aimed at the November elections. "They keep saying a strong return to school, but there is no details," said Sandra Davis on Fox News over the summer, co-founder of one large group called the Open Fairfax Public Schools Coalition. "Their attention is on their things, like their pet projects and social justice issues, and the kids have been left to flounder, and there is still no plan for fall." "You will be surprised to know I am a Democrat," she said. "I have tried to warn them that there is a bipartisan tidal wave coming their way. They don't look us in the eye. They don't write us back. If we can recall them one by one, there is an election in November." That fall, Davis cut an ad for Youngkin, citing his commitment to keep schools open as decisive. And while the group made a Democrat angry at Democrats, the face of its opposition behind her was a coterie of Republican operatives. The bulk of the group's financing came from End to America, a conservative nonprofit, and Republican gubernatorial candidate Pete Snyder. Its co-founder was a Republican who lost a 2019 race for school board, and the rest of its officers were Republican operatives too. A slick nonprofit named Parents Defending Education was launched in 2020 to help guide the local groups. Little effort was made to conceal who was behind it. A longtime coach network operative, Nicole Neely, was placed at the helm of the grassroots organization. Aside from Davis, nearly every mom and dad brought onto Fox News to complain about critical race theory held a day job as a senior Republican operative. It was the purest expression of the way Republicans have driven the fight over schools and then capitalized on it. The fear of public schools indoctrinating our children has been a GOP theme for race-based voters for decades. But in the wake of Trump's rise, the party watched in horror as suburban voters recoiled from Republicans into the arms of Democrats. Casting about for an issue that could win some of them back, recall that this is a game of margins, not absolutes, the party landed on the schools. Around the U.S., the conservative media apparatus, unrivaled by Democrats, gave air cover to the schooling issue, handing local activists language to use, a story to tell, and the resources and platform to tell it. Tactic was even more potent in Northern Virginia, where many professional Republican operatives and lobbyists live. In Loudoun County this November, McAfee outpaced Youngkin 55% to 44%, but Biden had beaten Trump there by 62% to 37%. Youngkin's showing was only 11,000 votes fewer than Trump 1 year earlier, while McAfee notched 50,000 fewer votes than Biden had. While Biden carried Fairfax by 42 points, McAfee only took it by 31. That the GOP didn't make even bigger inroads given their heavy investment in the issue may be the one silver lining for Democrats who, witnessing a dishonest AstroTurf campaign take shape and get twisted beyond all recognition on Fox News, decided, perhaps understandably, but to their later regret, to ignore the question. After McAfee's debate gaffe, in which he delivered up the perfect sound bite to Youngkin, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach," it took weeks to respond, initially not recognizing the danger. "Everybody clapped when I said," McAfee insisted later. Even where Republicans spent heavily against outmatched Democrats, they made only marginal gains in school board races. But if the issue continues to go uncontested, their luck may run out. National Democrats have no coordinated response yet, leaving school board members unstaffed, underfunded, borderline volunteers hung out to dry, with nothing to rely on but mainstream media assertions that there is actually nothing to see here.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, being religious. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of being religious. Generally, there is a question which is raised normally or generally in people's mind, and they do ask, especially from those who are non-Muslims, that what's the difference between a person who's religious and non-religious? Or there is a contradiction between being religious and being scientific? Or there is a difference between being religious and being a free man? So all these questions which are raised in today's world against those who are religious, it is because that the meaning and the definition of being religious is not clear for the people. People do not know what does being religious means. They think that being religious means the way in the other religions we do see some people who are religious. For example, there are the monks, there are the preachers in Christianity, in Judaism, in Buddhism, in Hinduism. I don't know, all these isms that we have in the world. All of them, when they talk about being religious, they're away from the community. They are someone who is known as a different person, a person who is not involved in the daily life. Whereas when we talk about the Islamic lifestyle, in the Islamic lifestyle, being religious means to be in the heart of the community and live there and be with the people as they are, but obviously through its halal means, that you will observe the halal and the haram, you will observe the permissible things and the forbidden things, and when you observe all these things, then you live in the community. This is what being religious means.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the meaning of being religious and the general question which is raised. There is a contradiction between the definition of being religious. So we said in the other religions, it might be different, but when we come to Islam, in Islam, being religious means that you are having an Islamic lifestyle. You're having an Islamic lifestyle. There is no contradiction between being too religious or being religious and the science, because the religion of Islam itself, it helps the science, it advances in science, and it talks about the science. There were many Islamic scholars or the scientists whom today we know as the, for example, father of algebra, father of medicine. So these father of medicine, father of algebra, they were the scholars, the Islamic scholars. They were religious by themselves, and they were not only religious, but the preachers of the religion. They were the scholars, Islamic scholars, and they studied at the Islamic seminaries. And at the same time, one of them became the father of algebra, the other became the father of medicine. So we can see that in the Islamic lifestyle, if we follow the true Islamic lifestyle, then obviously we can reach to all those things where today we can see science has been reached. So there is no contradiction between these two. We need to be very much careful that when we say being religious, it does not mean to leave the world, because leaving the world will not help us. The Prophet ﷺ, he lived among the people, and there he preached. He talked about the different sciences. Imam Sadiq ﷺ taught his students different sciences when he was within them, and he never left the community and went to the mountains or jungles or something like that. He was within the people while he was teaching, and he told them about the advances of the sciences as well, and he expanded. Imam Baqir is known as Baqir al-Ulum, the one who expanded the sciences. So being religious means that you live in the society, you enjoy everything through halal means, and you advance in the religion and the sciences in the meantime in order to get to perfection, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a thought-stimulating saying from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. The heart of an ignorant person is his mouth, and the mouth of a wise person is in his heart.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The lights.
An 11-month-old baby has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out underneath all the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby on the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji was not scared at all and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports.
Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the crabs so that they can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
A new study shows that moderate consumption of tea and coffee may be better for your health than previously thought. The study conducted by a Chinese medical university says tea and coffee can help keep stroke and dementia at bay. And if you're wondering what is meant by moderate consumption, it's defined as something between 2 and 5 cups of tea and coffee, either alone or combined in one day. The study followed more than 360,000 people aged 50 to 74 for over a decade. Some scientists have praised the study as robust. Others, however, say the participants were all selected from the UK Biobank, which means they're healthier than the general population. Pomegranate has a special place in Iranian culture. There is a trace of the fruit everywhere from poetry to cooking. Iranians even hold a pomegranate festival in the fall. This year the event is held in one of the main parks in the capital, Tehran. festival features different varieties of pomegranates that are grown across Iran. The visitors can also find pomegranate products, including juices, concentrates, and dressings. The event includes cultural parades, music concerts, and traditional live performances. Iranians say they always welcome the pomegranate season, as it's one of the old symbols in the country's literature and art. The Christmas season always brings happiness and joy to people around the world. Many Parisians these days are taking a respite from their daily routines and hitting famous departmental stores now light up with present boxes. Cheerful families could be spotted at Christmas-decorated galleries, Lafayette and Printemps department stores. Automated figures and colorful window displays are the center of attractions for them and their children. It's a season when people buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones, and stores make big profits this time around. Many Parisians say they want to take advantage of this period, as the government is debating whether or not to impose a COVID-related lockdown. In Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas, and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days. Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting, with holiday-themed and full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, what, year and a half that we've had.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real and real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
From a gray and gloomy look to a cheery and colorful appearance. That's the story of how a neighborhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing color and joy to this hilly neighborhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with older neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth named Terrier was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all, while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to four cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The four were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for two reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbuk Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
Often, it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know? Because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats, but here we're witness to the birth of forests as well, and that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Sunday, is the 15th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Yusuf, verse 33.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين.
He said, My Lord, prison is more to my liking than that to which they invite me. And if you do not avert me from their plan, I might incline toward them and thus be of the ignorant.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Men of Allah prefer all the difficulties that come with a life of honor to a sinful life of luxury. By seeking assistance from the Almighty, man can distance himself from any kind of sin and temptation under any kind of circumstance. Hardship and suffering cannot provide man with a justification to commit sin. Man's character depends on his soul and not on his body. If man's soul is free and he is in prison, it can be like a paradise for him. And if his soul is under pressure, even a palace may become a prison for him. To please people at the expense of displeasing Allah is manifest ignorance.
Heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so.
We are talking about courage and bravery in Islam. Allah's Messenger said in a hadith, A strong believer is better and is more lovable to Allah than a weak believer. The meaning of strength here is the greatness of the self and being alert in the matters pertaining to the akhirah. Akhirah means the here, after, the afterlife. And the ones who have this quality race towards the enemies of Islam during the battle and are quick to leave, march from their homes for it, for martyrdom, and are firm and strong in joining good and forbidding evil, and they bear with patience and endure all the troubles encountered in this path.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. Elsewhere, it's indicated in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحَبَّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ لَهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes those people who join jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the divine cause, like a very firm row of combatants. At the same time, we find that according to some Arabic glossaries and lexicons, we find that braveness, shuja'ah, braveness, is like being strong in terms of attitude, in terms of making the right decisions or taking risks and so on. Now we find that in the case of braveness, this is a very this is a very praiseworthy merit and characteristic, because based on this kind of braveness, it's indicated that people are able to achieve the aims and the high goals, because braveness doesn't mean that the person who is brave is always aggressive. No, there's no aggression in this regard. Sometimes taking the right decision in the right context or in the right time is a sign of braveness. I mean, because braveness has got its own various connotations according to the context.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's a special from IRIV English Radio. We're going to speak about social courage from different kinds of courage. Social courage is the courage to expose yourself to social situations where you may be vulnerable to embarrassment, ridicule, or discomfort. People who have social anxiety might need this type of courage. They need to muster this courage whenever they enter a social situation. Others may need social courage when in a leadership situation. They have to ask people in their teams to have faith in them and follow their lead. This can be intimidating if you're new to a leadership role or feel like your leadership may be questioned by team members.
واشتد على العزيمة جوانه قم على خدمتك جواره.
One tip to liberate yourself from fear is speaking up. Always let someone know what your plans are for the day. If you plan to go somewhere after school or after work, it is important that you let someone know beforehand. This is not a limitation on your freedom, but a protection for all of us, both males and females. In discussing your plans, the other person may point out something you forgot, reminding you there is a game this afternoon, so the subway might be crowded with people who have been drinking. Besides planning, it's good to share your thoughts and fears with others who understand your point of view. Arrange a group to study or just invite a few Muslims to your place for a discussion. It's good to talk with others. They need you to listen to. Don't keep things bottled up inside.
Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لو تميزت الأشياء, if every trait and everything was to be segregated and put in its place, لقان الصدق مع الشجاعة, you would find that truth is always with courage. وكان الجبن مع الكذب, and you will find that cowardice is always with falsehood. So whenever we make a decision that we know is wrong, but we do not have the courage to say or do or stand up for the right thing, we should also know that we have stood with falsehood. When I look at the Muslim nations today and I see the shambles in which we are as an ummah, I blame the ulama to some degree. I think it is rightful to do so. And I've looked at this very, you know, deeply to say that why do we sometimes feel we have been let down by our spiritual leaders, by our scholars? You know, why is it that we constantly blame ourselves, our community, our youth, our this, our that, but we don't see any, you know, when a corporation is failing, we change the CEO, we don't change the people working in the warehouse, right? We look at the people at the top. And we, don't get me wrong, we have some very special scholars and leaders who are our driving force, and without them we wouldn't have any needle in our compass, we wouldn't have any means of direction. But there are issues as well that we have to acknowledge. And when I drill this down, I bring it down to three qualities that plague our scholars. And I'm going to say this very candidly: hypocrisy, arrogance, and cowardice. No matter how I slice it and dice it, whenever I see a flaw in any scholar, I cannot see anything besides these three things. It might not be all three, it might be one of them, but it always resonates with one of these three things. There is either a lack of sincerity, ikhlas, or there is no humility, tawadu. I am the alim and you are the I'm the shepherd, you are the sheep. Right? That attitude. Or there is no shuja'ah, there is no courage, there's no willingness to stand up and say the truth or do the right thing when we are called upon.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode. Fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is sure. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, but He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you? Every tear that is wet, He is there. Every tear that is wet, He is there.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB.